Thank you all for coming, and Liora, thank you for hosting. I actually did not know about this group until you asked me to say a shiur, and it seems like it's just a wonderful thing, like to get together and to learn Torah, and different people, I understand, present to each other, though from what I've heard now, it's not all year, it's only when there's no Sunday night shiur in general, but it's a great thing, and thank you. So what I want to talk about with you tonight is the fifth parak of Eicha. Now, Eicha is not a happy book, and if you're expecting a happy, upbeat cheer, you're not getting one. Eicha is very sad, and the fifth parak in Eicha, in some ways, is different than all the other prakim in Eicha. First of all, just, you should have the text in front of you. What differences do you note? Very quickly. It doesn't start with Eicha, right? All the other prakim of Eicha begin with the word Eicha. This doesn't begin with the word Eicha. Okay, and a corollary of that, the Aleph Beis doesn't exist, no? So, the fifth parak of Eicha is just different. And the understanding that I have of the fifth parak of Eicha is that it's different than the rest of Eicha in the sense of the goal of the fifth parak of Eicha is to talk about what happened and to appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make amends. That is pretty similar to the rest. However, the fifth parak of Eicha, if I understand it correctly, is more about all of the Klal Yisrael dimension of it, and less about the individual, and that's something that we'll be talking about as we go along. Just like the structural point, in terms of the fifth perek, the perek begins by appealing to Hashem, Zachar Hashem Mehoyelonu, and the perek ends by appealing to Hashem. You can come in, there's plenty of room, but there is some sort of room. And the perek ends also by appealing to Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem. That is something that I think sets the tone of all of Eicha. Eicha, by the way, is known in Chazal as the Sefer of Kinos. No? The Gemara Bava Basra, when it speaks about the Sefer of Tanakh, they call Eicha Sefer Kinos, which really means that Eicha is the formula for Kinos. And the Kinos that we say on Tisha B'Av involve two things. It involves asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember what happened, or we review what it is that happened and we get sad about it. And then there's the end of each kina is a good thing, or an appeal. Basically it's statements like, God, take vengeance, kill all of them, or God, like, how can you let this go on and not get angry? That's the basic idea of Eicha. The perek that represents this theme most is the fifth perek. All the other prakim have some sort of positive ending, although it's not abundantly clear. The end of the other prakim are positive. The fifth perek really ends in a positive sort of way with the pasuk of Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha V'Nashuva. Right, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring us in, and then we will return. Chadesh Yamein Kekedem, it's positive, rebirth, it's beautiful. Now there's a question with what I'm saying, which is, that's not the last Pasuk of Eicha, no? The last Pasuk of Eicha is a real downer. Ki yema'os ma'astanu kasaf dolinu ad ma'od, that God, if you're going to completely be disgusted with us, and you're angry at us, and you're throwing us away, it's like a cliffhanger. But Chazal say, and the Midrash in Eicha has it, and Rashi quotes it at the very end, Chazal say that's not really the last pasuk. Really, Hashiveinu is the last pasuk, and that's why the Baal Kori repeats Hashiveinu, because we want to end off with something positive, so we go back to Hashiveinu. So effectively, if what we're saying is correct, so Eicha Perek 5 begins Zachar Hashem, begins by appealing to Hashem to remember, and it finishes off with another appeal to Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem, and the middle is just all the sad and depressing stuff. So that is the basic idea. just as a matter of information, I don't want to take a survey as to how many of you say Tikkun Chatzos every night. The answer probably is not many, right? So just a guess. It's not popular anymore. Tikkun Chatzos actually became very popular, the historians say, when caffeine was introduced in coffee, and then people were able to stay up late at night and say Tikkun Chatzos, and they felt very holy. If you say Tikkun Chatzos at night, there, Tikkun Chatzos every night contains one parak of Eicha, and that's parak Hei of Eicha. So in some ways, this is the paradigmatic idea. Tikkun Chatzos is that you come and you cry over Korban Beis HaMikdash. So that's really what we're trying to do over here. So let's learn together. What we'll do is we'll go through the Pesukim. I know this is the worst way to teach Tanakh, is to go through Pasuk by Pasuk, correct? That's what they tell you in Azrieli, that like if you teach Tanakh this way, you're really boring. Sorry, but the fact is, what we'll try to do is make a few points on the Pesukim, and hopefully we'll be able to get through the whole parak. If we don't get through the whole parak, so at least we'll make a few interesting points, and this will enhance our understanding of the kinos. So let's begin, the first pasuk. Zechor Hashem mehoyalonu habitur eyesker paseinu. Question, Hashem represents which type of name of God? Is it a good name of God or a bad name of God? Well, that's a good name. Hashem is Midas HaRachamim. So how do we understand this pasuk? Zechor Hashem mehoyalonu. So it could be that we are appealing to Midas HaRachamim, that Midas HaRachamim should come back from its hiding place, as it were. Right? That could be the way we are. Right? We're saying, remember, Midas HaRachamim of Hashem should remember. Alternatively, we could say, the Gemara in Kedushin has the famous story about Tehillim Ayin Tes is one of those parts of Tehillim actually that we've been saying now with the current crisis in Eretz Yisrael. Mizmar Asaf Alkim Bo Goyim Ben Achlosecha Timos Hecha Kachecha Samus Yerushalayim L'Iyim. So the Gemara in Kedushin asks, well, what do you mean Mizmar La'asaf? Mizmar is like a song, right? If we're saying Alkim Bo Goyim Ben Achlosecha Timos Hecha Kachecha, that they came in and they defiled the entire country, it should be Kino La'asaf Mibayalei. That's the Gemara's question. It shouldn't say Mizmar, it should say Kino. So the Gemara interestingly answers that really it's a mizmar, really it's a song. It's a good thing that happened because Kila Hashem Chamasal Eitzim Ba'avonim, that God decided to let His anger out on the stones rather than on the individuals. Of course, some people died, of course, right? And if you read the Medrash Eicha, millions of people died. But at the same time, I think the point that the Medrash is making is that it could have been so much worse. There's always a degree of positive that's involved, that as bad as things are, it could be worse. Again, this is a very Jewish, cynical, negative sort of approach to life. But maybe that's what Zechor Hashem Mehoyalonu is. Right? That there's a degree of Midas HaRachamim, that what happened was not as bad as it could have been. Okay, next point on this pasuk. Mehoyalonu. What does lonu mean? This is an easy one.
To us.
Right? So what happened to us? Meaning, it's not only Klal Yisrael that suffered. Who's the us? Or we could say the us is just Jews. Alternatively, it could be that us is that God also suffers. Right? There's a degree of kinah that we have for the fact that with Korban Beis HaMikdash, so something was changed in the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu also suffering. Imo Anochi Betzara. God is now Shechinta Begalusa. God also goes into Galus. And what we're saying is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the way, if you're a Mekubal, right, probably not too many of those in Washington Heights anymore, but if you daven the way the Vilna Gaon encouraged davening, or the way Nefesh HaChaim speaks about Tefillah and Shaar Beis, Tefillah is all about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going through. No? We don't pray because I need X, Y, and Z. I pray because, God, I'll be able to do so much more for you if I have X, Y, and Z. No? It's all about God. And the tsar that we are going through, and so much of Shemona Esrei is about that we're in Golos, we're suffering, etc. The Nefesh HaChaim says that when we daven, we're really davening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come back. And that's really That's really what this pasuk in Eicha is saying. It's Me'olam. It's something that happened both to God and to the Jewish people. Habitor Eischer Faseinu, God should look at our disgrace. You know what? There's more to say about this pasuk, but we'll skip that. Let's go into the next pasuk. Okay? Nachaseinu Nefcha Lazarim Batenu Lenachrem. Okay, what's that? Our inheritance, that means Eretz Yisrael was given over to foreigners, or as they pronounce it, fargoners, right? And Batenu, our homes, Lenachrim, were given over also to others, outsiders. That's what Nachrim is. What this pasuk basically means is the kiyum of what it says in the Tochachon Kisavo. Bayis tivne rosei shevbal. You're going to build a house and you're not going to live in it, no? We have homes, and we're not living in our homes. Right? When the hitnatkut from Aza took place, so one of the discussions was about what to do with all the shoals in Gaza, no? Ultimately, they blew them up. And there were two reasons to blow them up. One reason was that they were worried that they'd use them as large rooms, could be like major storage bases for weapons. Alternatively, they blew them up because hayitachin, that like these shoals that we had, that we were using, how could they be used by other people? It's a real slap in the face. It's a real insult that the things that we used to have been handed over to others. What's interesting is there's a medrash here in Eicha. The medrash comments like this. Yirmiyahu is saying Nachlaseinu Nefchal Azarim, that our inheritance was given over to others. Yeshayahu Hanavi speaks about Beis Kodshenu V'Tifarteinu, right? That the place of our Kedusha. And in Tehillim, we speak about Elokim Ba'u Goyim B'Nachlasecha. And the medrash comments that really Tehillim is the one that gets it right. And this is a point that we were making beforehand. It's not Nachlaseinu Nefchal Azarim. It's not that our inheritance, our land was given over, because it's not ours. Really, Eretz Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Right? That's the first Rashi in Chumash, no? God created the world, and He gives it to the ones who He wants it, who He wants to, no? And if we don't have Eretz Yisrael, it's because God doesn't want us to have it at that time. It's not that our land was taken away on a certain level. It's that it's God's land. No? So the Midrash is commenting that maybe the mistake that Klal Yisrael is making, and maybe one of the reasons why this is a kinah, is that we view it like it's our land. And we're crying because of that, because it's Nachlaseinu Nefchal Azarim. But really, it's not ours. Really, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's land, and we have to just have that proper perspective. Okay, next. Are there any questions? Like I should speak less. Yeah.
This is in terms of the first question. I'm just wondering, I'm curious about the change, if it's reflective of the change in relationship between us and Hashem. I'm thinking from
the change between
of the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. If this pasuk and the fact that we're using Hashem,
okay, so
name here as opposed to a name that's more reflective
of Midos HaDin,
because
right.
We're not worthy of.
So the question as to whether God changed in the Korban process, right, is a very important question. In the end of the perek, let's look at one pasuk over there, pasuk Yutes. Are the pasukim numbered in your sheets? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good. So pasuk Yutes is At Hashem La'olam Teshev Kisach Aladar V'Dar. Basically, God is permanent. Right? Now, on a certain level, that itself is that's like a chiddush that we come to at the end of the perek. At the beginning of the parak, we're saying, oh, God also perhaps changed. And if God changed from this process, maybe we're really messed over. And maybe things will never change. But if God is permanent, and God made all these promises to the Jewish people, and just we messed up, so then there's an opportunity for repair. Right? Now, it's obviously a fundamental idea that Ani Hashem Lo Shinisi, but sometimes in times of despair, people think about God differently than they thought about God beforehand.
Right. I'm not asking if God changed. I'm asking if B'nai Israel's relationship to God changed.
Oh, yes.
And that's why we need to refer to him as Adam.
Yeah, but B'nai Israel's relationship to God definitely changed. That actually is what I want to talk about in this next pasuk Gimel. Okay? Yesomim hayinu ve'ein av, imosinu ka'amanos. Okay? So we are orphans without a father. Our mothers are like widows. Like widows, they are not actually widows. And most Mefarshim understand that the Kaf HaDimyon is going on both halves of the pasuk. In other words, we're not actual orphans, but we're like orphans. Now, maybe this is what Yonati is getting at. But Yesomim Hayinu, if I say that we're orphans, Klal Yisrael is supposed to be Banim Atam Hashem Elokeichem, no? That's our relationship. Our relationship is children to God. And then, right, what happens with Korban HaBayis is that we say, you know what? Maybe we're not Banim Hashem anymore. Especially in light of the fact that the Gemara has lines to the effect of that if we are Osim Ritzon Oshom Makom, then we're Banim. We're not Osim Ritzon Oshom Makom, we're Avadim. So, what we're saying is that we're Yesomim now, because we're no longer children, right? We're not Osim Ritzon Oshom Makom, we're not doing what God wants, and Yesomim Hayinu, therefore we're no longer children, we're like orphans, Ve'ein Av, in the sense of the relationship that we had to God beforehand, at least from our perspective, has changed. Now, in reality, the end of Eicha, or the last pasuk, is telling us that the relationship didn't completely change. But we think that it changed. I think this actually... Well, in Yud Tes, I thought that pasuk. No? That Hashem is constant. And Hashem, Yud Tes and Chaf, Atah Hashem Amoteshe, Lama Lanetzach Tishkachenu, right, why would you desert us? Why would you desert us forever? Bring us back. Yuteskov Chafalof. All the positive psukim are basically saying that the relationship hasn't completely changed. But from the perspective of thinking that the relationship changed, right? The perspective of Yisomim Hayinu Ve'Ein Av, that we're like orphans. So this, I think, hits out for me one of the hardest ideas of Tisha B'Av. You know, the pasuk at the beginning of Eicha speaks about Sosam Ganki Azak Vashaveya Sosam Tfilasi. My prayers are clouded over. My prayers are blocked. No? I could scream, and as it were, my tfilos won't be answered. I think that is coming from the place of if we're assuming that there is a change in our connection to God. So that's really what tefillah is about. Prayer is that we are connected to God and we are appealing to that connection. And if we're saying, Yisomim Hayinu Ve'Ein Av, that God is no longer the father figure, so then what we're really saying is that our prayers can't be effective because prayer is based on this type of connection to a father figure. The reason why it might change in terms of the prayer specifically is because Tefillah and the Beis HaMikdash, of course, are very connected. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says when he builds the Beis HaMikdash, right? V'spalo elecha derech artzom. The idea of the Beis HaMikdash is that that's the place where all prayers go through. Did this speak to what you were addressing, or not yet?
Well, I just feel like Kaf Aleph just could argue that there was a change, because if there wasn't, then why would we need
it? So, well, but what's the change in Chaf Aleph? Okay, if we assume that there was a change, or there's at least a perception of a change, well, I'm willing to say there's a perception of a change. So what Pasuk Chaf Aleph is saying is that God, bring us back. Bring us back to the way it used to be. Right? So we perceive it like there was some sort of change, and now we're saying, okay, the change wasn't complete, there's still an opportunity to come back. And that's the positive they mention at the end. I think that's all correct. But let's just talk about Pasuk Gimel for another minute. Imosinu ke'almanos. Our mothers are like widows. What's the difference between being an actual widow and being like a widow? What's worse?
Like a widow.
Why?
You can't remarry.
So you can't remarry, right? That's what Chazal says. It's an ominous fire. It's like you're naguna, right? Jeremy Stern lives on this stuff, right? So the fact is that you're not really a widow because we can't identify that your husband is dead. Therefore, you can't remarry, and that's much worse. Now, if the Kaf HaDimyon is going on the beginning of the Pasuk also, so that means that we're saying that we're not actually orphans. In other words, the relationship didn't really change, but we perceive it like it changed. That's the Kaf. We're like orphans. Ki Yisomem Hayinu. So if that's the case, right, why is like being an orphan worse than actually being an orphan? And that's worse than knowing that the parent Rachman Litzlan is dead, is not knowing if they're coming back. It's worse in a few. Very often, orphans are extremely successful in life because they're forced to grow up quickly. No? You become an adult really fast if you're an orphan. And you accomplish things and you go out and you do good. But if you're someone who's nishtahi nishtahair, you're not really an orphan, but you're kind of an orphan, right? You're not sure if your parents are returning. That's a much worse situation, because you retain the dependency, but you're dependent on something that's not there, and that you don't have the help that you should be getting.
Sorry, are you saying that the ke'almanot is also applicable to the
Yeah, the Maharikra, the Ibn Ezra, some of the Mefarshim point out that the kaf at the end is distributed both on both halves.
So why is it at the end?
That's a general issue. Sometimes we have that in Tanakh, especially in Mishlei, that you have like a, it's almost like the word not at the end of the sentence, like when you're a teenager, that goes back on everything.
Okay.
It's that type of, I was once a teenager. Fine, let's go on. The next psukim are all focused on the fact that we used to have certain things, and now we have to pay for those things that were really ours. No? Meimenu b'chasav shasinu. It's our water, but we have to pay for it. Eitzenu, it's our wood, b'mchir yavou, but we have to buy it. That, of course, is very painful. This, of course, is a function of nachlasinu nechalazarim. Because our land was given over to others, so that's why we have to pay for our own water. Now, if what we were saying at the beginning is correct, that part of the Aveira, as it were, was that we view it like it's our own, so then I think that just adds a slight dimension to this pasuk, which is Mimenu, we thought it was our water, right? And that precisely is part of the problem. We should recognize it's all from Hashem, and then we wouldn't have had this type of suffering. Again, it's not necessarily pshat in the pasuk, but I think, like, I remember Rabbi Wurzberger was like the rabbi of the show when I was growing up. He used to teach philosophy in yeshiva in YU, and he was the rabbi of the show. So his line about Hasidic Torah was that Hasidic Torah is not about the text, it's a pretext. Which I think is a correct idea, that sometimes you have an idea that is a correct idea, and even if it's not textually grounded, that doesn't take away from the correctness of the idea. So we're trying to find evidence in a text for an idea, which I think is a correct idea, but maybe the text doesn't prove it, but okay, what the heck. Yeah. That's basically what we're trying to do. Yeah.
I don't know if this, there's anything to it, but the thing about that we had to buy like our own water and trees, so I know that there's a lot of like comparison, there's I think there's one of the keynotes that compares like or contrasts our having to leave Yerushalayim to our joyful leaving of Mitzrayim. And it's like the midterm, it's like almost like this is like, because the midterm also had to buy water from us.
Right, like oh, that's very cute.
I don't know if they had to buy wood from us. I don't know if there was, but I know a lot of things they were dependent on us for their.
Now, during the mock up dam, certainly, they had to go and buy our water.
I know that, I don't know how, I know it's based on that, I know from the novel, like, Don't Discover Ever, that there's a lot of, like, they finance, they, and that's based on Midrashim, but I don't know which Midrashim, they, like, were a lot, like, they, Jude became wealthy at one point. From the Mitzvah, so
That's found in Chazal in terms of specifically the Mark of Choshech. That's a very nice idea. I like the idea about the water. You're right. I'm not sure how the wood fits in. Are there any references to wood? Don't know. Okay. Al Tzavarenu Nidafnu Yaganu Vlohu Nachlanu. So they chased us on our necks. What does it mean that they chased us on our necks? So the simple reading of the pasuk is that they were pursuing them from behind, you know? Okay. But, again, the Medrash has a few funny reads over here. One read in the Medrash is Al Tzavarenu, that Nebuchadnezzar passed a law that anyone who has hair on their neck would have to be killed. Most people, I think, have some sort of hair in their neck, no? I think that's just the way it works. So that basically meant that everyone would be killed. So the idea of that medrash is Al Tzavarenu, because of what was on our necks. That's why Nirdafnu, that's why we were pursued. But in a more serious note, the next line in the medrash, I think, is important. In Chumash, right? Vayipol Al Tzavarei Vin Yamin Achiv Vayevk. That Yosef meets Binyamin, and he cries on Binyamin's neck. So what was happening over there? So don't tell me he was saying Kriya Shema, okay, whatever. But that's also true. But Chazal say, Vayipol Tzavarei Binyamin Achiv Vayevk, that Yosef is crying for the Beis HaMikdash, which was in Chalko Shel Binyamin. And the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as a tzavar, as a neck in Tanakh, in Shir HaShirim, Kimigdal David Tzavarech Bonoi L'tal Piyot, right? The neck is supposed to be, Chazal say, the most beautiful part of the body. I never thought of it in that sort of way. But that's what I'll say. And Beis HaMikdash is compared to the neck, and Beis HaMikdash is the most beautiful part of Klal Yisrael, etc. So, Al Tzavarenu Nirdafnu means that because we rebelled against the Beis HaMikdash, we didn't treat the Beis HaMikdash properly, so that's why we were pursued and we were killed. In other words, Churban HaBayis and all that ensued in terms of the suffering is because we were not treating the Beis HaMikdash with appropriate respect. That is something to talk about, and certainly if that would be the pshat in the, if that's the pshat in the pasuk, what the Medrash is saying, so obviously an antidote to Churban HaBayis would be renewed kavod for shuls, which I think is something, again, as a rabbi, I think it's important to talk about, like, showing proper respect in shul. We've spoken about this in shul in the past in terms of whatever goes on outside in the world, but shul should be a place of higher standards. Our shul, Baruch Hashem, I really think it's a wonderful place, and many shuls have serious issues in talking. Now, I happen to be deaf, so I don't hear stuff, but my understanding is that our shul is pretty good, and it's something to really be proud of, but at the same time, there's always a little bit of some room for improvement. Now, the Dat Mikra Tanakh, like, goes through the standard Pshatim. So Dat Mikra says, Al Tzavarenu Nirdafnu, Pshuto Shel Mikra is that they were pursuing us when we had stuff on our necks. Which is that Nebuchadnezzar insisted that people would carry very heavy loads on their necks, and we were being pursued while we had to carry these heavy loads. The Ibn Ezra also has that comment here on the pasuk. That's by Pshuto Shel Mikra. Has probably less to do with the hair on the neck or the Beis HaMikdash, although, again, obviously there are different meanings of the pasuk, and that's what we're trying to bring out. Next, We'll try to go a little bit quicker because we want to get to a few of the exciting psukim. So Mitzrayim nasanu yad Ashur l'sba'a lachem. Basically, we asked Mitzrayim to help out. We asked Ashur to give us bread. I think that's also part of the kinah in two different ways. One way, I think, is the simple way, that we're asking Mitzrayim and Ashur to help us, and they're not helping, so we suffer. But there's another part of this, which is that who should we be asking to help? We should be asking God. We should be asking Hashem. So the fact that Mitzrayim nasanu yad, right, Rashi comments that when the person falls down, you ask someone, like, give me a hand, like, pull me up, and we ask Mitzrayim to give us the hand and pull up again. But we should be asking God. Pasuk Zayin deals with some of the harder issues. Does the Churban HaBayis happen because of our sins, or the sins of the time of the Churban, or is it because of sins of people in previous generations? Avosinu chatu ve'enam, va'anachnu avonoseihem savalnu. Simple reading of the pasuk is, why are we suffering? Is it our sins? Not really. It's avonoseihem savalnu. No? It's their sins. Now, it could be that we change our tune in Pasuk Tes Zayin. In other words, if Pasuk Zayin is saying that we're suffering because of their sins, because our parents, our grandparents sinned, and we have a concept in Chumash, a Poked Avon Avos Abonim, no? That I don't... Huh?
And the
four generations. Okay. So, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's only if the banim are ochsim b'maisei avoseim, only if you continue doing the bad stuff that your parents did. But you can't say, oh, my parents did this, so why should I suffer? I'm just doing the minhag. Right? The idea is, no, if it's wrong, so then, and you continue to do it, you'll suffer as well. So it's not a foreign concept in Judaism that you suffer for your parents' sins. It's an uncomfortable concept. It rubs us the wrong way. But it's not a foreign concept, and that could be what Pasuk Zayin means. But alternatively, I'm more inclined to read this perek that Pasuk Tes Zayin is like the antidote to Pasuk Zayin. In other words, at the beginning they're saying that lo lano, it's not because we did anything wrong. But at the end they say oy no lano ki chatano, we recognize that we did the sins ourselves. Let's just talk about this pasuk from another... are we talking about averos that are b'shogeg or averos b'mezer? There are two different terms in this pasuk, in pasuk Zayin, for sin. Avoseinu chat'u, that's a chait, v'anahu avonoseihem savalnu, and we are getting their avonos. What's the difference between a chait and an avon? So it's a machlokas hatanayim. Right, in Yuma Peivav, right? And there are two opinions in the Art School Matzah in Yom Kippur, actually, about which way it goes. So, like, it's official. It's really part of Judaism. But the fact is, the standard approach is that Chet refers to Shogeg and Avon refers to Mezer. Now, what that would mean is very interesting. Avoseinu chat'u ve'inam. They did sins b'shogeg and they're dead. But we, v'anachnu avonoseihem savalnu, we are suffering because of their sins that they did intentionally. That's already a little funny, that they died because of their sins b'shogeg, and the sins b'mezid we have Yisurin for. Like, I would think that death is worse than Yisurin. Death is worse than suffering. Now, you could say that it's not such a question, that they died, and the death didn't atone for the Avonos. The Avonos are so serious that we also have to have Yisurin in addition to it. But there's another way of looking at this topic. which is as follows. Chait is b'shogeg. If I did a sin b'shogeg at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, I have a very easy way to get rid of it. It's called I bring a carbon, no? An avon, I can't get rid of so easily. A sin b'mezer. So, avosenu chat'u, they did a sin, ve'enam, not that they died, right? Their aver was b'shogeg, and ve'enam doesn't mean that the people died, doesn't mean that the parents are no longer here, but it means that the sin is no longer here, because they brought karbanos and they were atoned. I was saying the chatu ve'enam. Ve'enam could be referring to the averos rather than the people, and that would solve the problem that the simple reading of the pasuk is that the chait is worse than the avon. According to this, it's not like that. This contradiction, by the way, do we suffer for our parents' sins or not suffer for our parents' sins? So, the distinction that we're making now between chait and avon actually is borne out in the psukim. Poked avon avos albanem, ish bechet o yumasu. If I do an aveir b'shogeg, I'll suffer myself. It won't carry out the next generation. Poked avon avos albanem, but the Aveira B'mezid, that does carry over. Again, I happen to not fully understand this idea of suffering for your parents' sins, etc. But, you know, you can't argue with Psukim on a certain level. It just, it's troubling.
We also merit from our parents, so...
Right. So, I'm willing to take all the good stuff. I don't have a problem with that one. But
couldn't it just be parenting style? Or even just lifestyle?
That they set you up in a certain way and you continue? Or is that...
That's how you were brought up. That's how you were taught. So, yeah.
But I would think that that would be a mitigating factor. I would think that, you know, let me off the hook because... Right. That would be my guess.
Well, maybe that's why it's Midas HaRachamim
at the
beginning.
Maybe. It knows it's Midas HaRachamim because I'm not sure.
These are Avonot that span generations, then it would be a nurture versus nature thing.
It requires more thought. Okay, let's continue. Avodim mashlu banu, porig ein miyadam. Slaves ruled over us. Now, if you have to suffer, and you're suffering at the hand of some mighty authority figure, that's one thing. But avodim mashlu banu, when slaves rule over you, that's much worse, no? The pasuk in Mishlei speaks about, here let me, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Tachas shalosh rugza ha'aretz, there are three things that make the land tremble. One of them is Tachas eved ki yimloch. When a slave rises to power, that's very bad. So it's embarrassing, it's insulting. Porek ein liyadam, meaning that we couldn't even get out, we couldn't even be redeemed from the hands of these slaves. Now, one could also understand this pasuk even in a worse sort of way. You see, there are different levels of slaves, right? There's the slave who's in charge of other slaves, and then there's the slave who is the guy who's all the way on the bottom of the totem pole and is the slave to everyone else, no? If I'm a slave to someone who's a higher level slave. So effectively, the higher level slave could always be taken over for, no? Like the higher level slave could always say, you know what? I'm tired. I don't want to do it. You take over. Right? Because he has his little guys who he could boss around to take over. But the extent of what we went through is avodim mashlu banu, we were slaves to the lowest slaves, porekim miyadam, that there was no one who could redeem, no one who could fill in for the slaves, because the slaves who were ruling over us were the lowest slaves on the totem pole.
Who were these slaves?
Who were these slaves? So these slaves apparently are slaves to Nebuchadnezzar, again, assuming that Yirmiyahu HaNavi is speaking about Korban Bayis Rishon. We didn't really get into that question as to whether Eicha is written in as Nebuah for Korban Bayis Sheni. But if it's Nebuah for Korban Bayis Rishon, it's also Nebuah. The idea is that it wasn't officers, it wasn't leaders who were... Right? We saw this, by the way, in the Holocaust to a certain extent, that they'd have soldiers who are 13, 14, 15 years old who are getting entire groups of people to just do what they say. Right? Those are people at the bottom of the totem pole. That's Avodah Mashal Banu. Again, it increases the amount of degradation that's going on. Okay, Pasuk Tes, we basically already did. Maybe we'll make one more point. That we bring our bread b'nafshenu, with our soul. Meaning, we're going to get our own bread. That's like what we spoke about before. We have to get our own water, we have to get our own bread. But it's b'nafshenu. We're doing it with our risk for our lives. Mipnei cherev hamidbar, because there are swords out there in the desert who might get us. In other words, it's dangerous for us to go and to get our own bread. Okay? So we have to go through dangerous situations to even get something that's rightfully ours, and that's another bad thing. Okay. Oreinu kisanu nechmaru mipnei zalafos ra'av. Our skin was heated or was burned like in a stove. Mipnei zalafos ra'av, because of the winds that lead to terrible hunger. That is the way Rashi understands the pasuk, right? Zalafos is like Rashi says, is ruach zalafos lashon sreifa. It's like a very hot wind that burns stuff. So basically, our skin is burning because of the heat. Now, this idea that it's oreinu kisanor nechmaru, that our skin is burning, the Medrash comments over here that it's a tanur shelo husak kotzarko. There are two different types of ovens. The ovens that they used to have were clay, and a clay oven, once it was completely fired, so the color of the clay would be a reddish to orange type of shiny color. But before it's completely ready, if you just burn stuff in an oven, it's all black and dirty. So oreinu kisanor nechmaru, our skin is like blackened because of what happened. Now, this reminds us of Psukim in Shir HaShirim again, no? Shvora ani v'nava banot Yerushalayim, that there's a sense of being blackened from Averos, and blacker is not a good color. It's not referring to anything positive. But the idea of being blackened is that it's only skin deep. In other words, what Chazal are saying in this pasuk is, Oreinu kisanor nechmaru, that we have sins, terrible sins, but it didn't penetrate us completely. It's only on the skin. Beneath that level, things are okay. And that's the same idea as is found in Shir HaShirim. The Meshech Chachma actually amplifies this. The Meshech Chachma says that the comparison is to a tanur. And according to this Medrash, the tanur shel husak kotzarko, the Meshech Chachma points out that an oven shel husak kotzarko is not tummy. The Mishnayis in the beginning of Kalim speak of what type. This is the really boring parts of Kalim. Every part of Kalim is actually boring. I have to correct it. But this is like super boring. So at the beginning of Kalim, so the Mishnayis speak about when the Tanur is tummy. So a Tanur shel husak kotzarko isn't mekavel tuma. What that means is that we may have done certain things bad but it wasn't really, it didn't completely affect us. We were not makabel tum ourselves. And the Meshech Chacham plays in the next pasuk, Noshim b'tzion inu b'sulos b'arei Yehuda, we were raped, but when you're raped, you're not responsible. You're forced. Now, it's a terrible thing. No one's taking away how bad it is, but at the same time, in terms of whether you yourself become tamei, so it didn't happen. I just want to do one more pasuk. Pasuk Yud Beis. I know it's getting late. Maybe we'll do one more pasuk and then we'll skip to the end and make a point about the end. This stuff is not so happy, but there's a lot of repetition as we go on. If you want, I could go on. I have notes on the whole parak, but we can. Maybe we'll just do one more pasuk. Sarim biyadam nislu peneza kenim lo nedaru. Who wants to translate this pasuk and tell me the connection between the two halves of this pasuk? It's like a trick question. They're hanged, right?
They hanged officers in
so
their
the
hands.
Officers were hanged with their hands. So it's probably referring to the slaves, that the slaves took their own hands and hung the officers. Right? And that is a sense of, usually, I don't want to be too grotesque about it, usually the person who hangs you isn't the person who persecuted you yourself. Usually there's a designated hangman, right? Hangman.
What?
Executioner. Okay, that's a better term. Right? So usually there's someone who's designated. Over here what we're saying is that the same avadim who were ruling over us, biyadam, with their own hands, they hung our officers. That's one approach. But the other approach in the Ibn Ezra is really interesting. The Ibn Ezra says, biyadam nitzlu means that they were hung by their hands, which means this is the earliest source in Tanakh for crucifixion. Right? That Klal Yisrael, the officers of the Jews, went through crucifixions that they were hung by their hands during the time of Korban Habayis, and obviously crucifixion is painful, and it's degrading, and it's very bad. Now, what does Pnei Zakeinim Lo Nedaru mean? So it probably means that the goyim who were persecuting us, right, and the Pesukim of Tokacha speak about, it's a goy asher lo yispnei zaken. Right, it's nations that don't respect elders, so they have no respect for our elders, and even though there are people who are begging, don't torture, etc., they don't care, they just do it. That's a simple reading of the pasuk, again in two different ways in terms of what Sarim Biyadim Nislu means. The Al Shech HaKadosh, I just noticed before, has a different take on this pasuk. The Al Shech says that the Jewish officers hung themselves. Right? In other words, like we have in Crusade Chronicles, in terms of committing suicide so as not to be handed over to the Goyim, name the group. According to the Al Shech HaKadosh, that's what this pasuk means. Sarim biyadam nislu, that they actually hung themselves with their own hands in order not to be handed over, but it was the officers who did this. It's almost like Sha'ol HaMelech, no? Sha'ol HaMelech falls on his sword because he doesn't want that the Mashiach Hashem will be taken captive. So that was a bad thing and that was a good thing. So generally we think suicide is bad. Even though the MASH theme song, I think, is the suicide is painless. No? But the fact is that, don't ask. The fact is that suicide is generally assumed to be usher. However, the Rishonim, when they defended the ritual suicides in the period of the Crusades, all brought Shaul HaMelech as the proof. And they're justifying it on a certain level. There's a famous tshuva, it's probably a forgery. There's a sefer of tshuvas called the Besamim Rosh, know that they say was the truth was written by the Rush, but we know it was written by some Moscow in the 19th century. The fact is that, or at least parts of it were, the Summer Rush tries to say that suicide is permitted as a halachic matter, and he proves it from Shaul HaMelech. Very, very difficult. Tshuva doesn't make any sense. It's like, it's absolutely ruined. But at the same time, Shaul HaMelech is... You can't say Shaul was completely wrong over here. Right? The Pesukim don't fully chastise Shaul. Maybe Chazal, right? In the Pesukim, he doesn't come across badly for falling on his sword. Right? That's the hesped for Shaul. Right? It sounds like that wasn't a bad thing. If the Ashach HaKadosh is right, that's the pshat in this pasuk of Sarim B'yad Mislu, so there is a degree of another episode of suicide that is looked somewhat positively on.
No one brings up Shushan.
What?
No one brings up Shushan.
Shushan?
But he was killing other people.
Yeah, but he still killed himself.
I don't know if it's brought up in that conversation. I don't remember clearly, but I don't remember being brought up. Okay, the end of the perek, like we mentioned before, has positive dimensions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change, right? Don't forget us. Bring us back to us is almost a dialogue. Is it Hashivinu Hashem? Should God bring us back? Or is it Vinashuva? Right? Or is it that we should return to God? And like we're having this conversation. You go first. No, you go first. Right? That's the conversation that goes on in the Medrash. Chadesh, I mean, if you care, then bring us back. Ki im ma'os ma'astanu katzavta aleinu ad ma'od. This pasuk I just wanted to talk about for a minute. Again, this is technically the last pasuk in Eicha, although we do, like we mentioned before, pasuk chafalaf a second time. Ma'os ma'astanu means that you're disgusted with us. Katzavta means that you're angry at us. One could read the pasuk as follows. Ki im ma'os ma'astanu, because, or if you are disgusted with us, so then we're really in trouble. Like, if you ever have like a real everyone has fights. If you ever have a real fight with someone, so you say stuff when you're angry, but that doesn't really count so much, right? If someone says stuff, if a spouse like screams at some other spouse, you're angry, and okay, so it's bad. It's like, don't do it. But at the same time, it was anger. It wears off. Well, if you're really disgusted with a person, then the marriage has no hope. If you feel that the other person is just like putrid, ugly, disgusting, you're not interested in them, right? So then there's no hope. So chatzafta aleinu ad ma'od in some ways is the more positive function than ki ma'os ma'astanu. Again, this is a comment. I don't remember if Mahari Kras says it or David Ezra says it. The difference that Kiyama Os Mastanu means that I say to Hashem, God, are you disgusted with us? Or do you feel that we are like meos? Like, or is it just that you're angry? If you're just angry, we got a chance of Hashivinu Hashem Alacham Alashuva. Right? In other words, temporary anger in some ways is the redeeming thing at the end of Eicha. Because a temporary anger means, okay, so you're angry and it can come back. So again, there's no real, the positive thing is the last pasuk, Hashiveinu lachav nashuva, chadish amin kiked, things return to the end, but Eicha is not such a positive thing. We can't always be happy. I remember one time, I'll probably speak about this on Tisha at some point, when I was in Kollel and YU, so we used to have different speakers who came to talk to us. A few weeks. One time, Leon Wieseltier came to speak to us, you know, for the editor of the New Republic. So Leon Wieseltier's line to us is that he felt that man is, by nature, not a happy being. Depression is a much easier emotion to come by for man, and he meant woman and man at the same time, like for human beings. Like, depression is much more natural. Happiness, like, sometimes you have people, like, always, like, everything is awesome. Everything is awesome doesn't speak to me. Like, everything is awesome is, like, that's too fake. You know, there is a genuineness in the emotion of, you know, to appropriately reflect on the sadness. And I think Eicha really hits that chord very well. Eicha is, you know, is saying, you know, let's not, yes, there are some positive things, we're trying to finish off the Davar Tov with Hashivena Hashem Lacha V'Nashuva, but by and large, the Sefer of Eicha is a sad Sefer. And sometimes it's appropriate, I guess, these next few days, tomorrow, the day after, these are the times to be sad. That's the appropriate thing. Unfortunately, this is a year that there's a lot going on to be sad about. I thank you for listening. I wish we could finish off with something more upbeat, but I'm just not so happy now. Okay. Yeah, thank you.